T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Loons are home tonight at Allianz. They take on rival Sporting Kansas City. Heavy weather, Kansas, Oklahoma, some of these videos. Tornadoes around Omaha, crazy. Quiet tonight, cloudy, cool at Allianz for the match. Once again, a 7:30 start. Andy Greeter joins from the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com. Andy, good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
I am. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good to visit with you. Hey, the Loons coming off a terrific win on the road against Charlotte FC.
Yeah, I think what was interesting about that one is new head coach Eric Ramsey changed the formation, changed the starting 11, and kind of threw some curveballs with those changes, and they came off to great success to be able to go on the road and win 3-0 at Charlotte against a team that had won, I think it was 13, or been unbeaten in 13 consecutive matches since May of 2023. So, you know, just really a nice showing for the young head coach to be able to put together a different plan and to catch Charlotte with those changes.
And Robin Lud did pretty darn well.
Yeah, he's been the Loons' best player this season. He has 3 goals and 5 assists. Those 8 goal contributions puts him tied for 4th in MLS through the first, you know, 9 or so match days, and that puts him in company of Leo Messi and Luis Suarez and Lucho Acosta, some of the best, you know, hometown names you can find in this league. He's been really stepping up, not only just goal scoring, but playmaking, because they're still without Emmanuel Reynoso, and Robin Lud's performance has made him not miss Reynoso.
All right, let's get the latest on Reynoso. What do we know?
You know, he's you know, still away from the team. They're actively looking to see what they can do for him to find a new team. If that means, you know, transferring him outside of MLS, which I've heard is possible, potentially to Liga MX in Mexico. But I think this time, the second big instance of him leaving the team and staying away unexcused is kind of you know, the beginning of the end, and they're looking to move him. Now, the summer transfer window doesn't come around until July and August. Wow. It sounds like there's chances that he could, you know, come back to the team and train and probably have to put in some time to work his way back into the team. But they're actively looking to see what sort of opportunities there are to move him to another team. The challenge with this is he's their record transfer signing. They spent $5 million to Boca Juniors in Argentina to bring him to the U.S. in 2020. And given the fact that he's AWOL now and hasn't been a good teammate, his value on the market is going to be depressed. So what are they going to be willing to receive for the fact that, you know, he's a depreciated asset at this point? You know, are you able to get, you know, a quarter on the dollar, or are you getting a dime on the dollar? I think it'll be really interesting to see what they end up doing. You know, it sounds like they're open to potentially moving him within MLS, but I think they're probably more likely or more wishful to get him out of the league. So if he does come back and does put together those great things that he can do with the ball on his left foot, you're not paying the consequences in league play.
Yeah, tough situation for Minnesota United FC, for sure. Andy Greeter joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He covers the Loons and the Gophers for the Pioneer Press and online at TwinCities.com. Sporting Kansas City, quite a rivalry, but your match preview in the Pioneer Press, they've dominated this series.
They have, especially lately. You know, Peter Vermes is their longtime coach, and he really kind of figured out what Adrian Heath wanted to do and really took advantage of it. And this rivalry, which they call kind of the nicest rivalry in sports, has been very, very one-sided. Kansas City, you know, won all three games last year by a combined 7-1 scoreline, and it's been that way for years and years. It seems like that Kansas City just really has Minnesota's number. But like we started talking about, you know, Eric Ramsey has thrown different wrinkles into his coaching style and into his team and into his formation and tactics and the kind of rotation of the squad at times. And I think he'll be a little bit more difficult for Peter Vermes and Kansas City to nail down tonight.
And Eric Ramsey's got to be right at home in weather like this. This has got to feel like the UK.
Yeah, you know, yesterday it was training up in Blaine, and it was a comment. Yeah, you know, he's used to this coming from Manchester and coming from Wales. You know, this kind of cloudy, overcast, rainy conditions are very much in his wheelhouse. It's funny, you know, I think it was a week or so ago, yesterday. I don't know if you remember the weather then, but it was very blustery and snowy, and he came out for training and had to go back into the locker room because he forgot some gloves. So, you know, while he's used to the rain, I don't think he's so used to the snow and had to kind of go back in for another layer for training last week.
Yeah, and I'm wondering about Ramsey. We so often take for granted what professional athletes, particularly in an international game, go through. It's got to be quite an adjustment. I mean, picking up and moving across the pond to the States, and I mean, that's got to be a big part of the story for him.
Yeah, no doubt. And the fact that, you know, he joined a team that was in the middle of the season, you know, he didn't have the benefit of 6 weeks of preseason to be able to get to know the guys, be able to slowly implement the way he wanted to play, understand the players, form a relationship with them, motivate them, see what makes them tick. You know, he flew in on the weekend and then was coaching on the sideline the following weekend. But, you know, he's been able to have some successes. You know, they got a win in his first game against LAFC. They hit a bit of a rough patch for three games where they were winless in three, and then they got the win last weekend. So it's been kind of a mixed bag on the field. I think they like the fact of kind of what they call the underlying numbers, the expected goals, you know, the possession, the kind of, you know, pressing chances that they're creating. So they like kind of the underlying numbers, even if some of those results in the middle of his tenure so far through five games kind of hit a little bit of a low point. I think they like the fact of where they are kind of overall, and it'll be a tough test tonight.
Andy Greeter joining us once again from the Pioneer Press covering the Loons, and he'll have full coverage tonight and in the paper tomorrow, of course. Sporting KC in town, 7:30 start tonight on the Midway at Allianz in St. Paul. Golden Gopher football, some Gophers selected in the draft, and I know, Andy, you've been doing double duty this week covering that as well.
Yeah, Tyler Newbin went in the second round last night to the New York Giants, and he's going to join couple of his former Gopher teammates. You guys remember John Michael Schmitz, the Gopher center, was taken in the second round a year ago by the Giants. Carter Coughlin, the former Eden Prairie standout, is also in New York, so he'll have some familiar faces there. But, you know, I think he was the first safety drafted in the NFL draft here this year. Very talented, ball hawking, type player. The Giants put out a video of him talking to the general manager and the head coach, and you know, Tyler was the type of player that kind of always put it all out on the field and wore his heart on the sleeve, and that showed in that video. He was kind of crying down. He was breaking down and crying, kind of how emotional it was for him to be able to have a dream come true to play in the NFL.
Yeah, it is really an emotional time. I mean, that's probably the thing with family and friends there, whether they're in person in the draft this year at Detroit or, you know, at a family home or a gathering spot or whatever. You know,
yeah.
I like that because it shows it's not just the player, it's the impact on the family and the people around
him. Oh, no doubt. What's great about it is he also posted some photos on Instagram, and obviously his brother Jordan is a Gopher teammate of his, and
yeah.
His dad played college football. His mom was a track athlete in college, and so there's a lot of talent in that family, and you saw kind of the emotions of Tyler and Charisse and Rodney and Jordan and kind of what this moment meant to him and what it means to the program as well. The Gophers have had a first or second round draft pick in 5 straight years. And the last time they were able to do that was World War II era. So just kind of a nice run of success for some high-end type players. That includes, you know, Rashad Bateman and Antoine Winfield Jr. And Boye Mafe, John Michael Schmitz, and Tyler Newbin. So, and it looks like there's a chance that that's going to continue next year. Obviously, there's some really talented linemen on the Gophers team right now. Ariante Ursary, their left tackle, Jaw Joyner, a defensive end. Those two guys have put together nice college careers and are looking to cap it off here this fall before they want to hear their names called next year.
Yeah, and there's a couple of big dates in sports. When spring practice begins, when summer camp begins. And now maybe the biggest of all in college sports, when does the portal shut? When is the transfer portal over? And especially for, you know, a member of the media who covers these teams, the portal, it's insane.
Yeah, it is. It's a daily churn of development. You know, it's wild. I think what's been great for Gopher football is the fact that they've been winning in the transfer portal. You know, they've had, I think, 5 guys leave, 5 guys come in. Of the 5 guys that left, I think only 1 or 2 of them were on the 2-deep. They haven't lost a starter. Outside of Ethan Calliope-Manis, 15 of the 16 presumptive starters that had eligibility from last year's team are back. And I think that's a credit to what the Gophers have done with NIL money in retaining and kind of having a cultural sustainability with their players. But, yeah, I mean, they've had some huge wins as well. Tyler Williams is a 4-star transfer from the University of Georgia, who was a very highly coveted wide receiver out of the state of Florida in the 2023 class. He's going to really help what looks like a really unthreatening wide receiver room in spring practices. Daniel Jackson, their clear number one, was out and had a couple of injuries and a couple of issues, having drop issues and not being able to make explosive plays. So they needed to go out and get a wide receiver and Tyler Williams from Georgia. Obviously that school jumps off the page, and the fact that he was, you know, top 25 wide receiver in the nation in last year's recruiting class. And then obviously Jackson Howard, who was the best in-state recruit in the 2023 class. He went to LSU for a season. He entered the transfer portal. Now he's coming back to the Gophers. So some really high-end type talent that's going to immediately plug in to their 2-deep and maybe even be starters next year. So while there's always kind of trepidation on who might be leaving, or where people are going, or what that churn is going to be every day, the Gophers, so far in the portal, which is closing in a few days, have been coming out ahead.
Yeah, wow. Lots to keep track of. and there's people, you know, this has got to change. I don't know how it changes. I think player movement of this type is here to stay. I don't think you're putting the genie back in the bottle.
No, and what I think they need to do, and obviously – the flip side of this is the Gophers lost Elijah Hawkins, their point guard, one of the nation's leading assist men last season. And he said he was coming back on multiple occasions. The Gophers promoted that he was coming back and shared that, you know, point guard one is coming back and all of those different things. And it was a big success. And then, you know, somebody got to him and said, you know, hey, there might be better opportunities money-wise in the transfer portal. And he decided to start looking elsewhere. So I think, while they have windows like we talked about, like the portal open 2 weeks ago and is closing here soon. I think they also need to have some sort of binding agreement once you say you're coming and once you've committed to be able to make that, like, lock that in so that way you're not having guys like the Gopher football team last year had a number of guys that committed and then backed off that commitment. So, you know, it's difficult to kind of know what you have because you're trying to put together a spreadsheet, put together a roster of where your team is. And if they say they're in and then all of a sudden they're out, then you're left scrambling.
Yeah. There's got to be a way that people representing the players' best interests in the schools can get together on some sort of structure to sort all this out. And what that looks like, I agree. Some sort of contract, some sort of agreement where it's kind of like, hey, you've agreed to be here for the next year. You know, something along those lines.
I agree. I think that would help cut down on some of the madness that goes on. I think it's interesting to see how many people, you know, think the grass is greener on the other side. And maybe in Jackson Howard's case, when he went down to the SEC school at LSU and maybe it wasn't what he thought it was and decided to come home. I think there's benefits to that. But I think kind of the amount of movement that we see and the fact that it's not just a one-time transfer, we're seeing two- and three-time transfers, just given kind of how there's no kind of guardrails from the NCAA on kind of what people can do and when they can do it. I think there's, like I said, there are a couple of windows where they've kind of put it at certain times, so it's not a free-for-all all the time. I think is an encouraging step in the right direction. But, yeah, I think some sort of written agreement that says, hey, you're signing on to stay here for X amount of time will kind of help cut down on some of the wafering that goes on.
All right, Andy, always good to visit with you. Once again, look forward to your coverage tonight. The Loons take on Sporting KC at Allianz at 7:30. Andy will, of course, be covering on social media and then have stories at TwinCities.com and in the Pioneer Press tomorrow. Have a good evening, Andy.
Yep, thanks, Steve. Take care.
All right, Andy Greeter on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Quick break. We'll come back. There's a Minnesota team still playing on the ice at the Xcel Energy Center. Professional Women's Hockey League, Team Minnesota in action again. We'll get an update. Struggling a bit after the break for the Worlds. Josh Wheeler will give us an update and some good news on the entry draft for that league. We'll get into all of that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. PWHL Minnesota falls to Boston 2-1 today in St. Paul. And Josh Wheeler, this is your club, and it's been a struggle of late.
Yeah, it has not been good since juniors. They've also faced some adversity. I mean, halfway through the season, they lost Taylor Heise to an injury, which she eventually came back from, and that's all fine and dandy. But, they're still holding on to a playoff spot. The top four seeds get a playoff berth, but, man, it's getting really, really thin up at the top because they have 35 points and right behind them is Ottawa and Boston with 32 apiece, and there's still two games left in this season before the playoffs officially begin. So it's getting a little interesting. I'd be very shocked if Minnesota ends up kind of blowing this thing. I just don't see how it would be possible. They've kind of remained at the top for most of this season. Outside of that, they've been kind of on the struggle, which is weird because they have two of the best goaltending tandems out of all the PWHL teams. And unfortunately they just have not been sharp since the juniors. So it's been a tough stretch, but, you got to finish strong here and, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Games Wednesday, May 1st, Toronto, and then a matinee next Saturday in New York. To close out the regular season, so you would think get a couple of wins on the road and you're locked in out of the postseason. Now you had mentioned something, the PWHL draft is coming up. A lot of great talent coming out of college, etc. And I would assume that there could be expansion in this league. And I don't know if this is the off season where they're going to ultimately you know, have nicknames, et cetera. Because that's one of the criticisms is kind of like, okay, PWHL, Minnesota, none of the teams have nicknames, et cetera. They want to make sure they get it right. But I would assume this offseason they got to hone in on nicknames for these clubs.
I totally get people's point and frustration, I guess, if you will, thing. Because, you want to push some merch. You want to be able to spread your name a little bit more than saying PWHL Minnesota. I mean, it's very bland, very templated. But, it is what it is at this point. This is definitely a dipping your toes in the water situation for them because this is the most exposure they've gotten, I think, on a level like this, because the Whitecaps didn't even get this kind of exposure nationally or even on Bally Sports North. You never really saw the Whitecaps play. And so this is to have these six teams be able to kind of go out and do their thing for the last few months has been it's been a game changer. And they'll be able to kind of, maybe build on that some more here in the draft, which was announced this past week that the second draft ever in PWHL history will be hosted here in Minnesota. Date and location TBD to be determined. But last year, people remember, they got the number one overall pick in Taylor Heisey, which has turned out to be a very wise decision, both PR and just, stat-wise for them because – I've met Taylor a few times. She's a fantastic person, fantastic player. So we'll see what they can get out of this next draft.
Yeah, and once again, the nickname probably going to be part of the off-season marketing effort. But almost 10,000 in St. Paul today. Official attendance announced 99.77. And I think the trend continuing, sure, you want to get the best player available. For PWHL Minnesota, there's so many recognizable names that are either from here and have maybe made their name in another color. Maybe they played at Ohio State or Wisconsin or out east. But I think bringing back Minnesota kids is a big deal. I think the Wild have brought in Minnesota players. Obviously, they have the ability to play at the highest level in the NHL, but I think that's good for any club when you have that tie, where you can get someone with who's from here to play for the team. You think of Joe Mauer and the Twins.
Yeah, I mean, it's Minnesota sports. You love bringing in the homegrown kids. Yeah, we should just start hanging banners for this kind of thing since it seems to be the only thing we really. Accomplish. Oh yeah, we drafted this guy because he's from here. Okay, but how are his stats? Oh, not that great, but it's a good feel good story for PR.
They've got to be able to play. But I know what you're saying. Not for the sake of marketing, they've got to be able to play. But when you talk hockey and hockey talent, and particularly women's hockey talent, you're in a pretty good spot. So it's, two equal players, one with Minnesota ties or a Canadian or from a kid out east. I think you go with the Minnesota kid, being equal.
Yeah, I grew up watching Chrissy Wendell my entire childhood, and she's one of the all-time greats when it comes to women's hockey, and she's from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. A lot of these girls go on to do big things in the Olympics and on the professional level now. So it'll be interesting to see how they are able to expand on that here in this next expansion draft or entry level draft, in June.
Yeah, you think about Brock Faber. That's worked out pretty well with the Wild.
He's
Maple Grove
doing pretty good for himself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people still, I think, consider him a runner up for the Calder. But I think anybody that knows hockey, like truly knows hockey, knows exactly who should be the Calder Trophy winner, and that's Brock Faber.
Yeah, and there he is, Osseo Maple Grove Hockey Association. That is pretty cool stuff. All right, quick break. We got to do the weather, and then Timberwolves. At the end of the third quarter, it was over. I went to bed. I didn't even need to see the fourth. They blow out the Suns again, and the Timberwolves are on the brink of sweeping their first-round NBA playoff series. I'm having a hard time sorting all of this out. We'll try to when we come back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. at the end of the regular season, there was a great deal of hand-wringing about the Timberwolves' first-round playoff matchup with the Phoenix Suns, because the Suns had dominated the regular season series and blew out the Timberwolves in the final regular season game, setting the stage for the 3 seed, the Timberwolves, taking on the 6 seed, the Suns. Well, it has been all Timberwolves in this series. And the games were decided by the end of the third quarter, including last night. End of a long week. I was tired. Watched through halftime. And by the end of the third quarter, I was comfortable going to bed. Josh Wheeler, the Timberwolves have dominated getting out into a 3-0 lead and can sweep the Suns in Phoenix tomorrow night. I'm, on some level, shocked by what this Timberwolves team has done so far.
I will agree with you, but I also want to make a note about last night's game. It's kind of bothered me a little bit. There's not a lot of merit to it because of how short-lived it was, but I do want to point out the fact that Devin Booker got under the skin of Jaden McDaniels, which, you know, I think Mike Conley's gone. I think he's done a tremendous job of keeping Jaden McDaniels at bay this season in general, and I think he's helped with Jaden losing his cool a lot. But Devin Booker got into Jaden McDaniels' face, and all of a sudden we had a big scuffle where you pretty much had ushers from, like, the lower end of the section coming out to, you know, make sure there wasn't a fight about to break out. And then within the next 5 minutes, you saw the Suns really start to kind of build. They start dropping a few threes, and they were within, I think, 12 points of tying the game up. And like I said, there's not a lot of merit to it because it didn't last long. The Wolves were able to kind of slowly but surely pull away and keep their distance.
Yep.
But I just wanted to point that out because they lost their cool, and that kind of shifted the momentum. So you got to hope that maybe this won't happen in game four. But like you said, this, I don't think anybody saw a sweep coming. And right now, it is very much looking like it's going to be a sweep because they are facing an injured dog right now in the Suns. The Suns have nothing to play for at this point. They don't have Grayson Allen anymore because of injury. And it's all but over, but we'll see. I'm not going to try and jinx it. I still think it is Wolves in four, but this is to your tweet yesterday, I am deathly afraid of the Timberwolves.
Yeah, you know, the way they're playing is scary because they look so good and they look so deep. And forget about the history of the Timberwolves for a moment. Look at this season and the fact that they were the 3 seed. And Cat went down for a while and has come back and has really looked pretty good. And I won't say as a role player, but he got the Timberwolves off to a good start in game 3, hit some shots early, is fitting in, knowing that Anthony Edwards is the center point of the team. But you brought up Mike Conley, and you can't say enough about Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert and their veteran presence. And then you look at the talent around him. Karl Anthony Towns has been through it. Terrific player.
Yeah.
Outstanding scorer. Taking his defensive role more seriously. They have all the ingredients. So forget the history and the long, tortured history of the Minnesota Timberwolves. If you look at the 23-24 season, they are a legit contender. Now, in this conference, they still have to deal with Oklahoma City, who's on the brink of a sweep. You've got the Denver Nuggets on the brink of a sweep in the first round. It is a difficult road to the finals. And, oh, by the way, the odds-on favorite in the East, Boston. So to win 16, to win the Larry O'Brien, I'm not going to go there. But this Timberwolves team has shown me 3 games into the playoffs, they have all the ingredients to go on a deep run.
Yeah.
Where that ends, we don't know, but it sure is fun.
Yeah, I saw Chris Finch in his post-game interview. You know, someone, I think maybe it was Johnny Kay, that asked him about, you know, the 26-year struggle with this franchise. And he's like, you know what? I wasn't here for those 26 years, and frankly, I don't care. And I love the answer because he's like, what we are focused on right now is the here and now, and this team is also does not care about those 26 years. They're here to accomplish great things, and they have a great thing rolling. And I don't remember the last time, kind of to your point that you just made, I don't remember the last time I've seen a team gel this much. And I think that has been the key to their success late in this season, even more so than the regular season. I think the playoffs almost, double or tripled that. They feed off of each other, and you could tell that Ant is feeding off of the energy of his teammates because he's probably the most selfless guy when it comes to playing this game, and he makes sure that everybody else around him is playing at their best, and he makes them look even better than they are on bad nights. And I think that this team just has that perfect mentality that you need to have to win, and that's why I just don't think it goes well beyond the don't jinx the Wolves in game four. I just don't think the Suns can mentally match up with this team, much less the basketball itself.
That down 3-0, they're not as deep as the Timberwolves.
No, not at all.
And even if the Timberwolves don't finish it tomorrow night, the Timberwolves are the better team. They're up 3-0. It would be an epic collapse if they didn't win this series in advance. But it's crazy to sit here at the end of April, after this season where they were the 3 seed in the Western Conference, to say, what team, top to bottom, is more talented than the Minnesota Timberwolves right now? Now, the Denver Nuggets are the defending champs, and the Oklahoma City Thunder have a lot of great young talent, including our own Chet Holmgren down there, and you have the Celtics and some solid clubs in the East, but Boston's a favorite in the East. So I'm not saying that the Timberwolves are the team to beat. They're the favorites to win the NBA title. But how crazy is it for us in these parts to be at this moment early in the playoffs and say, our team's got a shot, and that's fun. That's fun because you can say that right now. The Timberwolves have a shot.
And yeah. That's
nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy to think the position that we're in right now. I think a lot of us have just been suffering for so long that this is just
– with all our teams?
Not just that, but just the Wolves in general. I mean, they used to give away, courtside seats for next to nothing. 10 years ago, and now it's just you can't even get a seat into the building. It's tough.
No,
it's tough to do.
They technically sold them out. Yeah,
yeah.
It is an incredible turnaround. Now, forget about for a moment the ownership struggles. Glenn Taylor, is he going to maintain control? Alex Rodriguez, Mark Lori, and for good reason, that's been moved to the back burner. We'll let the arbitrators, the lawyers sort out that stuff. But the commitment by Timberwolves ownership to get into the luxury tax and build this roster. I mean, you look at the money being made here. Max contracts, Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, and Rudy Gobert. Jaden McDaniels re-signed. They got a gift with someone like Naz Reid, NBA Player of the Year, took a discount to come back. That's how championship teams are built or championship contenders are built. Those veterans who you're able to bring in or a guy like Naz Reid could have got a bigger payday somewhere else. There's no doubt about it that Naz Reid could have got a bigger payday and been a starter in this league. But he knew he would come back and likely be a role player off the bench, turns out to be NBA Sixth Man of the Year. That's what it takes to build a championship roster. It's incredible. Are they going to win it all? I'm not saying that. Are they going to get out of the second round? I'm not saying that because they have a tough road to get to the NBA Finals. I mean, you look, it gets more and more difficult. And oh, by the way, to put it in perspective, and this is true in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, and right now in the NBA playoffs, where we stand this weekend, teams that are on the brink of a sweep have won 3 games. 13 more to put your name on the cup, or 13 more to win the Larry O'Brien. They need 13 more victories to claim a title, but it sure is fun. Enjoy the ride is all I can say, Josh Wheeler.
Well said. Enjoy it. Break. Enjoy it all.
Yeah. Soak it in. It's a bummer. We got another late one tomorrow night. I mean, it is a school night. You know, it's one thing to tip off. I looked at my phone. The game tipped off last night at 9:52. I'm glad it was a Friday night. Sunday night, what are they scheduled, 8:30 our time? I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, who knows? Maybe it is an 8:30 tip-off tomorrow night, but maybe yours truly should just stay up and come here to CCO to do the news with Vanita in the morning and Steve Simpson, because let's be honest, I may not go to bed until 2 a.m. So
yeah,
we'll see.
And they sweep, you'll be so revved up you won't be able to sleep.
Yeah, I won't
anyway.
Be able to fall back asleep.
Yeah, if it's yeah, so plan accordingly. Quick break. We'll come back, put a bow on it in a moment. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Twins play late in Anaheim. It'll be the Twins and the Angels game two of the three-game set. They got game one, 5-3 last night. Bailey Ober a gem and wasn't feeling well. That was quite a story. And the Twins' bats have certainly perked up. They swept the White Sox, winning four in a row over Chicago at Target Field. And then they won their fifth straight last night, beating the Angels. They've fallen to 10-16. Twins moved to 12-13, a game within 500. And we brought it up with Bobby Nightingale from the Star Tribune. And Josh, I don't know if that's available yet. If people want to hear my chat with Bobby Nightingale ahead of. Oh, good. It is available at WCCRadio.com. We talked a lot about with the injuries and just the sleepy bats earlier this season. If they can escape and be 500 or better the month of April, that is a victory for this club. So they can get to 500 with a win tonight, and Chris Paddock is on the mound. More on the lineup in a moment. A couple of highlights from last night. They got off to a good start. Carlos Santana, one of those guys that hasn't done particularly well at the plate, stepped up again for the home nine.
Swung on and well hit to left center field. Mike Trout going back. Mike Trout looking up, and it's buried onto the berm for a solo home run. Carlos Santana will circle the bases and score his 1,000th major league run as he gives the Twins a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, so Santana 2-for-4 last night, couple of RBI in the ballgame. His batting average just 165, but nevertheless, a good sign. Another key guy in this lineup, Byron Buxton.
Pitch delivered, and Byron smashes this one through the left side. Willie Castro will take the turn. Ward is up with it. The throw from Taylor Ward comes to the plate. It's going to be cut by Sano. Castro scores on the backside. Buxton safe at second, and the Twins lead 2-0.
So the Twins finding a way, and with that win tonight behind Chris Paddock, would get back to 500. Here's a sneak peek at the lineup behind Chris Paddock tonight for game two of the three-game series. And a programming note tomorrow, you'll have a full sports huddle, Dave Schwartz, Pete Najarian, between 10 and noon, then a break, then at 2:30, you'll get Inside Twins, at 2:30, the lineup card, first pitch at 3:07. So tonight against the Angels, once again, just after 8:30, Kirilloff, Julian Jeffers, Larnach, Kepler, Castro, Santana, Farmer, and Martin for the Minnesota Twins tonight. Kirilloff in left, Julian at second, Jeffers will catch, Larnach will DH, Kepler in right, Castro at short, Santana over at first, Farmer at third base. Hopefully he can get it going. His batting average, 0.64. We ain't playing bingo. And then Martin in center field tonight. All right. Once again, Twins and Angels. Our coverage beginning straight up 8 o'clock with the lineup card here on the home of the Twins. 57 now in the city's north, winds at 9 miles an hour. Tonight, cloudy. Rain moves in on Sunday. Rain continues Sunday night. High tomorrow, just 50. And then on Monday, there is a chance of rain. It'll be breezy again in 54. Sunny and warmer on Tuesday. and 73 degrees. Big thanks to all our guests. Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart right out of the gate between 3 and 4. Check out all the podcasts at the website, WCCRadio.com. Steve Kearney Outdoors, Bobby Nightingale joining us on the program, Andy Greeter, and a big thanks to Josh Wheeler. Hey, Josh, great job today.
Thanks, you too.
All right, man. All the news coming up at 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.